Welcome, everyone, and thank you for coming tonight. It's always good to practice together with other people. So before we get into our formal talk tonight, we always begin with an opportunity for anyone to ask any questions about meditation practice, mindfulness practice, and how we can bring the teachings and the practices of mindfulness and of the Buddha Dharma into our daily life. To remediate our suffering. Again, if you heard me say before, if you ever hang around Buddhists long enough, you will always hear that the Buddha said, I teach only the cessation of suffering. He was not into philosophizing, he was not into metaphysics, and he wasn't into meditative practices for the sake of meditative practices. They all had a purpose, and that purpose was to contribute to the cessation of individual, personal, and therefore societal suffering. We want to develop our understanding of these teachings and our skills and competencies in the actual practices themselves for that reason. We are not here to become good meditators. We are not here probably even to be good practitioners. We are here to be beings that are free of suffering in our lives and in our relationships, and therefore contributing to a world where self-created suffering, human-created suffering, is no longer the dominant form of suffering to affect individuals. And that, again, can only happen when each individual, each piece of the whole, each cell of the body takes it as their own personal responsibility to be as healthy a cell in the organism as they can be. Right? Each of us can do that. Right? We would certainly love to be part of a healthy body, wouldn't we? But healthy bodies are again made up of healthy cells. So we can do everything we can to ensure that our cell, which means our bodies, our speech, our minds, are healthy, are well. That's why we practice. So again, that is not often that easy to do or to understand how to do it. So please, if you have any questions about practice from your readings and your own individual practice, please don't be shy. If you wanted to sit down at the piano, right, and you just want to enjoy yourself, right? Hit the notes the way you want, make the sounds you want, make the rhythms what you want, right? Is there anything wrong with that? No. The only problem would that be if you wanted to learn how to play Bach. That would not, you see what I'm saying, from that point of view. So, you know, this is the problem when people say, well, it's all meditation, it's all the same. It's really not. But to say that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, judgment about good or bad or right or wrong. It really, again, depends on what one, you know, where one is going, and therefore why one is practicing. But even in Buddhism, if you've been around Buddhism or read or go to different groups, you'll see lots of different practices even within Buddhism, without even speaking about other spiritual traditions, many, many. But the one thing I would say that is coherent in all Buddhist meditation practices is there are three types. Okay, the first generic type is mindfulness. All meditative practice demands the capacity to be present to it. And that, I think, we understand in anything we do, any skill we're developing, that we have to be present to what we're doing so we can, you know, there can be energized focus. Okay, so all practices, there is mindfulness. Okay, then secondarily, and that's called mindfulness in Buddhism, secondarily, At the next level, there is concentration. And we can say that the kind of practice we do here, focusing on the body, focusing on the breath, is concentration. That's called samatha. It's a very generic, but it means that one is stabilizing and quieting and calming the mind. And again, whether one's doing it on the body, on the breath, on your tooth, on a rock, on a pebble, on a sound, on a mantra, on a visualization, there are many, many different ways of doing it, and they all have sort of different results. But we could say what's similar to them all is one is learning to place the mind on a meditative object and learn to keep it there. To some degree, because that capacity to take that very dispersed mind and concentrate it, to bring the energies in a more focused, concentrated ways, again, does produce definite results. It does calm the mind, it does quiet the mind, it stabilizes and grounds the mind. So we could say that is the, and again, within that, as I said, there are many, many different practices. That's called samatha. The third kind of practices is what's called vipassana, vipassana, insight. And that is one when we're is using the mind now, a mind that has capacity of mindfulness, that has the capacity of concentration, that is clearer, calmer, focused, to now explore the inner terrain of experience, right? Insight. What is this mind? Who am I? What is a thought? What is a feeling? You know, all those kinds of questions that actually produce knowledge, self-knowledge and awareness. So that's kind of the general, the Buddhist path of meditation, and you can see it has a result. Now, so that's why, you know, when people say, I meditate, you know, the first thing I say, well, what do you do? Because like you say, I mean, you know, you might say, well, I kind of do a kind of lucid dreaming, which again could be very beneficial and meaningful to you. But it may not be in terms of if you're trying to develop calmness of mind or concentrated mind or insight, it may not lead to that. You see what I'm saying? It's not saying that that's bad. It's really, again, the broader context in which you're practicing. You know, in terms of meditation practices, we could say kind of on the realm of continuum, you know, there are people who practice meditation just simply for stress reduction, relaxation, a little, you know, that kind. And again, we could say that's really for health benefits, physical, mental health benefits. One may develop a certain degree of mindfulness just so one could have a greater capacity to be present to life, smell the roses, so to say, appreciate the things around them. I mean, mindfulness is a wonderful practice. I mean, would I really say that's really using the meditative practice, quote, spiritually? I probably wouldn't say that. I would say that's really more just for improving the quality of everyday experience, which is certainly good. But it's when really one wants to kind of use meditative practices to heal and transform oneself, you know, to really cultivate wisdom, to cultivate understanding, to cultivate compassion, open-heartedness, you know, their real qualities of heart and mind, then we're kind of using these practices for a little more transformative. And does that kind of, I'm just trying to give you kind of a generic, so again, yeah, so I would say again, you know, when you sit, and this is again, I would say the problem with people whose practice is very eclectic. You know, a lot of people say, well, I ask them, well, what do you do when you meditate? They say, well, it depends on how I'm feeling. You know, sometimes I do a little of this, and sometimes I do a little of that, and so, which is again, from a personal point of view, that's fine. You see, I mean, I'm not like judging or saying it's bad, but again, you know, if you want to be somewhat proficient at your piano playing, you know, then there has to be a certain kind of discipline and a certain kind of development, whatever it is, whatever skill, whatever craft one is. There has to be a certain, again, kind of, again, discipline and developmental model that one is following. Because again, the problem, it's like when people say, like meditation, when people say, well, you know, I meditate when I feel like it. That's very dangerous. It's like, you know, saying, I work out when I feel like it. You know, left to your own devices, most of us don't often feel like doing things that when we're somewhat rational, we know are good for us, right? I mean, if we know something is good for us, until it gets to the point that it really is part of us, you know what I'm saying? We often have to kind of impose certain levels of commitment and intention. You know, I'm gonna exercise every day, or I'm gonna stop eating this, or I'm gonna start eating this, or I'm gonna start going to bed. You know what I mean? We have to impose some sort of discipline because we know that our feelings are based on what? Are based on the past. They've developed by who we've been. You know, that's when we act from what I feel like doing, I'm acting from my conditioning. Right? And my conditioning is what I've been conditioned to. It's not really what I freely choose to be in this life. Right? How I choose to act, how I choose to manifest. So when one is in a transformative state, in other words, when one is here and one says, well, I really want to begin to change. I want to move myself here. You see, that's kind of, we have to anchor ourselves a little bit in where we want to be, right? And then kind of develop a discipline that gets us here. Because, you know, when you talk to people who say, well, I meditate when I feel like it, you, and then they'll say, well, how often do you meditate? Well, not too much. You know, it's funny, things always get in the way. You know, I get up in the morning and I know I should meditate, but then, you know, I end up doing this, and before I know it, I'm doing that, and you know what I mean? Before I know it, the day's over. You know, like, exactly. Right? Because, you know, we are sick people as human beings, and even though we know something is good for us, right? And we will say it to ourselves and we'll tell it to everybody else. It's yet in our actual action, we do not follow through on what we know best. And that's just that's just our condition. That is why, you know, we need help. You know, I mean, this is why we need Sangha. This is why we need teachings. This is why we need, to make commitments. I'm gonna get up every day. I'm gonna meditate for 30 minutes or 15 minutes, no matter what. I mean, without these kinds of commitments, or I'm gonna go to Sangha every week, or I'm gonna do, because again, it's sort of like that. We know it's good for us, but left to our own devices, we don't act on it. So. It's like that.